O God, our Father, our shepherd and guide, look with love on your servant Vincent, your appointed pastor of this church. May his word and example inspire and guide your church. May he and all those in his care come to the joy of everlasting life. We ask this through Christ our Lord.
The Most Reverend Vincent Gerard Nicholls, formerly Archbishop of Birmingham, was installed as the new Archbishop of Westminster on Thursday, surrounded by an impressive lineup of cardinals, bishops, the papal nuncio, and ecumenical guests, including the Archbishop of Canterbury and the Anglican Bishop of London. At midday, the bells of Westminster Cathedral rang out across the city, and a fanfare was played as the Archbishop knelt at the threshold for the start of a pontifical mass for his reception as the 11th head of the Diocese of Westminster and leader of the Church in England and Wales.
My brothers and sisters, I welcome you most warmly, and I thank you all for coming to Westminster Cathedral today.
Archbishop Nicholls is no stranger to the church in the British capital. After studying at the English College here in Rome and being ordained in 1969, he served as General Secretary of the Bishops' Conference before being named as an auxiliary in London, the youngest bishop in Britain at that time. In the year 2000, he was named as the Archbishop of Birmingham, and in 2005, he became well known by wider audiences for his commentaries with the BBC during Pope John Paul II. Second's funeral. Just after he was appointed to his new job, I spoke to Archbishop Nicholls to find out how he felt about the daunting task ahead.
Well, when I was approached by the nuncio and he told me that it was the desire and the wish of the Holy Fathers I would succeed Cardinal Cormac, well, I swallowed hard and said yes, because that's what my life's about, just wanting to play a part in the mission of the church under the obedience of the church. So it wasn't in that sense a decision that I had to make, but it's something I have to learn to cope with, because it is a daunting prospect.
Those who know you best describe you as a very ambitious man. What's your reaction to that?
Well, I think I am ambitious for the things of God. I just want to serve the church and to serve its mission, and I don't mind where I do it. I don't mind. It doesn't make any difference to me where that is. That's the only ambition I have.
Taking over there in Westminster, what do you see as the greatest challenges facing the church today?
Well, the challenges that face the Archbishop of Westminster essentially are the same as those that face every bishop in this country, but sometimes they're writ rather more large in the capital city and with the intensity of the media being centred in London. And also, I think some of the voices that are raised against the church are probably more strident in London than anywhere else. In many parts of the country, there are very good relationships between the churches and public authorities. Here, they seem to be more strained. And I would want and hope to be able to address that interface between the culture of the capital and the life of faith of the capital, along with other faith leaders and other church leaders.
You have been quite outspoken in addressing the problem of the secular media in Britain before. You've talked about an anti-Catholic agenda, particularly at the BBC. Do you think this is likely to continue?
Well, the BBC is a very large and complicated organisation, and I don't recall ever having seen that the BBC as a whole is anti-Catholic. I think what happened for me was that there were one or two pockets and enterprises within the wider BBC that was certainly, in my view, conducting itself wrongly. And that's what I was protesting about. At other times, the BBC is wonderfully cooperative. You just have to think of the funeral of Pope John Paul II, when the BBC gave the best coverage around the world of anybody. So there is a lot of cooperation and shared work with the media in this country, and I wouldn't want it caricatured as purely oppositional, because it isn't.
You're well known for your work in the fields of ecumenism and interfaith dialogue, particularly with the Muslim community up there in Birmingham, where you've been. Do you see this as a priority as you take over in Westminster?
Well, I look forward to learning a lot about the pattern of interfaith dialogue in Westminster. I know there's been a tradition on the ground of great work done in the diocese through the Interfaith Network. I'm not sure what happens in terms of leadership. Certainly in Birmingham, that has been a great strong point for us. And I was glad to be able to say this morning that I knew many people would be praying for me, including Muslims, Jews, and Sikhs in particular in the city of Birmingham. And that's a wonderful thing to be able to say.
You've also been in the forefront of the church's efforts to try and overcome this very painful episode of sex abuse within the church. Do you think this is something that you have really been able to put behind you as a church, and that you will be able to move into your new job without having to worry too much about this now?
I think overall, yes, with the caveat that those who have been deeply traumatized through being abused, perhaps in their childhood, they are very important, and we constantly have to try and be sensitive and give attention to that enduring pain. I think from a managerial point of view, we are past that, and that perhaps the signal of that is there's no longer great media interest in the remaining cases that we have to deal with and act properly. But there is always a compassion to be extended to anyone who is really suffering, especially if that's happened within the life of the church.
Archbishop Vincent Nichols there, speaking just after his nomination as the 11th Archbishop of Westminster. While he may be spending most of his time in the British capital now, Vin, as he's always been called by his friends, is very much a product of the church in his native Liverpool, where he worked immediately following his ordination. That's the view of the current Archbishop of Liverpool and outgoing Vice President of the Bishops' Conference, Patrick Kelly.
I think that what he received and the character which formed him really from Liverpool is going to be quite a strength. From relatively ordinary background, from going to schools here which are still here today, somebody deeply aware of the challenges that face the city and who served in several of our, well, quite demanding parishes and with distinction. So I think all of that has given him a grounding, which means that besides bringing his knowledge of the situation in London and all that means, and it's a very complex reality, he'll also have this other dimension to him, which I think will give him a breadth which will be very welcome.
You're saying he worked in quite difficult parishes. You mean
indeed.
He has a particularly able way, a good human touch, if you like, with people in
Absolutely.
Difficult situations?
I mean, the impression I have, though, of course, it was a long time before I came, but I'm very aware that people greatly appreciated what he did. And this very day I had a letter from somebody saying how much they'd appreciated what he offered in terms of accessible formation.
He is, as you say, a Liverpudlian. He's very proud of it too, isn't he?
Very proud of it. In fact, today, which I think is marvellous, the Liverpool Post, our main local paper, has a double-page spread, which is both gracious and generous and positive. So that, again, it's a marvellous way. He obviously gave an interview. And again, that's a sign that he's willing to cooperate with our local media, because what is there today lifts us all up on what I'm afraid is going to be a dark day in these islands with the Dublin report coming out. So this positive word in today's papers is a blessing indeed.
He's a great fan of the local football club up there in Liverpool too, isn't he?
Well, I'm afraid, Philippa, you're not allowed to say local. There are two of them. And he's a fan of Liverpool. I'm afraid the other team, Everton, I'm always the one who says, when I'm asked, do I support Liverpool or Everton, I say I'm too wise to answer that question. But I think by serving in Birmingham and Westminster, perhaps he has a space I don't have. You've got to keep both the blue and the red side of the city happy.
Do you know any particular anecdotes about his passion? I understand it is quite a passion for the sport.
Well, now I'm trying to work out when he was. There was some quite significant event recently when I was really rather busy. And I was quite surprised to hear that my Archbishop from Birmingham, he was free to be watching Liverpool play where I was slaving away in the same city. So I could have felt aggrieved, but I'll always be generous.
What do you think perhaps may be at the top of his agenda there in Westminster? I mean, he's well known for many things, for interfaith dialogue and ecumenism. What do you think perhaps may be his priorities over the coming years?
I think in a way you will have heard, and most people heard, I'm sure, of the huge turmoil occurring just at this moment in terms of what's happening with our parliament, parliamentarians. I get the feel that in a sense, the agendas are changing with such rapidity. We're still seeing through the consequences of the credit crunch. There's quite a crisis in terms of where Parliament goes from here. Do we need an election? What would happen if there is one? What's going to happen to the two-party system? We've elections to do with Europe are coming up in just, 10 days' time. So in a strange way, I don't think anybody at the moment would say, well, this can clearly be my priority on agenda, that it's a very much a time to, I think, to say, well, what are the underlying issues? And there are some huge issues about integrity. There are issues about does our constitution need reviewing? And from time to time, the issue has been raised, for example, about the position of the Church of England. And all these issues, I think, there's quite a melting pot at the moment. So I think somebody who, as he is, can handle a brief, I suppose, is one way of describing it, and master a brief, and then bring to situations a clarity and a structure to be able to go forward. I think that's all going to be put him in good stead.
As I said, when he was up there in Birmingham, he became well known for relations, particularly with the Muslim community. Of course, such a huge Muslim population up there, but also Liverpool with its very strong ecumenical background. I imagine these will be quite a central theme for him.
Absolutely. And also, ecumenism was one of the strong features of his time in Birmingham and with the Bishop of Birmingham as well. So I think all of these things are going to be so very important. But all in a state of flux. I mean, the situation which the Church of England and the worldwide Anglican Communion is facing, some of their very difficult questions, that they keep on, if you like, changing the context in which we have to accomplish the charter of the Second Vatican Council for ecumenism, for the way we relate to the Jewish faith, the other religions. It's an agenda. All those agendas are clear, but the context is changing with such rapidity.
Finally, as a friend, something that you can tell us about him and ways that he's become particularly close to you as a friend.
Yeah, I would put it this way, that because of the way our Bishops' Conference works, and once or twice I've had to stand in and chair our meetings, our normal custom is that whoever's vice president says thank you to the president. Well, when I had to move up one and act as president for whatever reason, Vincent always managed with a marvellous twinkle in the eye to put in a delightful sense of Scouse humour into his way of saying thanks. And that to me is very precious, affirming, but with a twinkle in the eye.
So your message for him as he faces this big day?
Curiously, I'd stand by the last thing that the late, great Bishop of Northampton, Frank Thomas, said to me last time he spoke to me. He said, Patrick, be joyful. I would say, Vincent, be joyful.
And my thanks there to Archbishop Patrick Kelly of Liverpool, the outgoing Vice President of the Catholic Bishops' Conference in England and Wales.